I'm so sad that we're going to be leaving tomorrow. It's been such a joy for us to be here for these 10 days. And hearing all the testimonies are such a blessing to our hearts. And to see what the Lord has done in each one of your hearts is it's such a blessing. And I'm so sorry for you visitors that I'm the one who's speaking tonight to share with you. I have been enjoying, I'm partial, but I have been enjoying my husband's ministry this past week. The Lord has really spoken to my heart so many times and in every meeting. But you know, it's not easy for me to get up here. My husband constantly nags me. I love to say that to you. When are you going to speak? When are you going to speak? And I like to leave all that up to him and to my mother-in-law. She's also her. When are you going to sit up front? Sit up front. When are you going to speak? But I told my husband today before the service, I said, if I flop, I'm blaming it on you. And then he said something to me, and he said, it's not about you. Ouch. That was a tough one. But I think it's difficult because I'm not a scholar. I'm not a woman of a lot of words. I like to speak one-on-one and talk one-on-one. I consider myself a people person. Why are you laughing? But as far as coming to getting up in front of people, it's hard for me. And I mean, I love ministering to the children. That's my thing. I love to do that, but to get up front, it's hard. And I always think about Sister Grace being here, my mother-in-law, getting up here and speaking. Remember Sister Grace Schulteis? Amazing, amazing. I loved when she spoke. She was so animated, and she would just be all over the place and just wonderful and just always so blessed by her. So to think of myself being up here is a little scary. So if I pass out, don't worry, I'll get back up and finish. But my husband had asked me to share with you what I had spoken to the girls in the village the other night. And Sister Janet came to me and she asked me, she said, would you please come and share with the girls? And I said, okay. And right away the Lord put a scripture on my heart, but I wasn't sure if it was just something that, you know, that I wanted. And I prayed about it, and the Lord gave me this little message, and some of you heard a little bit of it. Johanna actually shared a little bit of it, so you're going to hear it again. Sorry. But it's amazing how you can grow up in church and hear the same Bible stories over and over and over again, but how they can minister to you in different ways at different times. And the other night, my husband was speaking about how God always was. And I remember as a kid, and even as an adult now too, I'll sit, when I take the time to sit and really think about how God always was, he always existed. And it kind of like, if you've ever done that, it can hurt your brain to actually think about it, or to think about eternity. He always will be. It can actually hurt your brain. But that just like touched my heart that even before time, God was always thinking about us. And he mentioned also how Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was thinking about me, and he was thinking about each one of you. And I don't know why, but it just hit me in such a way that it had never hit me before. And if that doesn't make you feel special to know that he was thinking about you when he was on that cross, I don't know what can make you feel special. And I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit tonight. If you can turn to Psalm 139, I love this chapter. I love the Psalms, but I love this one in particular. And I just want to read, we're not going to deal with all of them, because that would be way too much for me now. But Psalm 1 through 18, and I want the girls, if we can start over here, maybe in each one, take a verse and read it. And I know we probably all have different versions, but that's okay. Psalm 139. Okay. So David here, he's talking about the omnipresence and the omniscience of God. We know omnipresence is what?
Everywhere.
Okay, and omniscience?
Knowing
everything. Okay, very good. And he's writing here how we cannot flee from God's seeing eye, nor can we experience or go through anything that he's not aware of. If you look at verse 16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained me, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So before anything was formed, before the earth was formed, before the stars were formed, before the planets were formed, we got to see Saturn the other night. It was like the coolest thing. Brother Tom brought out his telescope, and we had an opportunity to see Saturn. Before all these things were formed, God knew that you were going to be created. He already had you on his mind. He knew what family you were going to be born into. He knew what color hair you would have. He knew what color eyes you would have. My daughter Kimberly always says she's mad at me because I didn't give her blue eyes, and I'm sorry about that, but God, I didn't have a choice on that. He had you planned out even before the world was created. And the amazing thing is that he knew and he knows everything that's going to happen in your life. Right, Brother Stefan? Where you're going to go to school. We've been talking about that all week, about colleges and where you guys are going to go to school and what you're going to do, what jobs you'll have. He knew that you would be here at Pilgrim Camp this specific time. He had you here for a plan and a purpose. Right. He knows who you'll marry someday. He knows who your children will be and who your grandchildren will be. Doesn't that just amaze you? That amazes me that he has it all planned out. And the most amazing fact to me is that you're not the only person on this earth. You're not the only one that he has to think about. I have a hard enough time just remembering a name. I met these gentlemen tonight, but I don't think I can remember your names. I'm sorry. I'm really bad about it. But I do remember the staff. I did do good with that this time. But right now there are over seven. Oh, two Charlies. I should remember that. That's my brother's name. Sorry. Right now, there are over 7 billion people on this earth. It's a lot of people. And God knows each and every one of us by name. He knows every little detail about your life. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Is that amazing? And here's the thing. I learned this a couple years ago. I took a college course, anatomy and physiology. Why I took that one, that's like, you know, a pretty difficult one. And I learned that the average person loses 75 to 100 hairs a day. What? Isn't that a lot? That's a lot. Okay, so God has to recalculate every single day and maybe every minute that you're losing a hair. He has to recalculate, but he knows all the time. What love is that? That is amazing love that he knows all of that. We look at verses 13 and 14. You have formed my inward parts. You have covered, you have woven, you knit me in my mother's womb. I'm not going to take a close look at that right now, but what an amazing thing we are. Our DNA, our fingerprints, how we're woven, how our bodies are made, how the neck bone's connected to the backbone and every bone is connected and all things work together. Something goes out of sync, everything else goes out of sync, right? How anybody could ever say that there is no God, it just amazes me. We are formed. Every part of us is amazing how God has formed us. And I want to ask you, how do you feel about yourself? Are you happy with yourself? Are you happy with your body? Are you happy with your mind or your emotional being? If you could just truly know and believe that God created you the way you are, every part of you for a reason, then maybe you can find true joy and true peace. And you know, I'm 50-something years old, and just recently, God truly ministered that to my heart because I was going through something personal and not feeling very good about myself. And I felt the Lord just speak to my heart that He made me who I am. I don't need to be like this one. I don't need to be like that one. He made me who I am. And there was such a peace in that, in knowing that He has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And I'm not supposed to do all these other things. He made me who I am. And there's so much pressure out there. And I say this to the young people tonight too. There's so much pressure out there to be perfect. If you don't look a certain way or dress a certain way or act a certain way, you just don't fit in. And there are those who will do whatever it takes to be accepted into those crowds. Plastic surgery, right? Change that smile, change that nose. We see that some of the most beautiful people in the world, and they're getting plastic surgery because they're not happy with themselves. It's a terrible thing. Covering themselves with tattoos because they think that that's going to make them look beautiful. Or on the other hand too, maybe running to drugs or alcohol or to relationships, looking for satisfaction. Or some people too, feeling that rejection, and they start hurting themselves, commit suicide. It's only God can satisfy. He is the only one who can satisfy. And if we could all understand and all believe that God created each and every one of us just the way you are, there's such a peace in that. Not having to live up to the pressures of the world or what friends may consider to be perfect. In verse 14, we see the word, I will praise you for I am fearfully. That word fearfully. This means the same as having fear of the Lord. Not to be afraid of Him, but to have respect and reverence for Him. And we should be thankful and honoring to God for the body and for the life that He has given us. Instead of trying to change it with surgeries because we'd rather have somebody else's smile or somebody else's nose, or by hurting our body because you're not happy with the way it looks. Like I said before, God knows how many hairs we have on our head, and He knows exactly what weighs heavy on your heart and all that you're going through. He knows every little detail. Luke 12:7 says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. That verse makes me feel so important to Him. And if He knows how many hairs are on my head and He recalculates them every single day, how much He must care about all the little details in my life. So we need to be thankful for the life and the body that God has given you, because you are fearfully made. And then we look at the word wonderfully. I will praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Distinct, unique. Each and every one of us are distinct and unique. I think they say like that you have like 7 lookalikes in the world. I think that's what they say, right? I mean, I have like a ton of people that come up to me and they're like, I think I must have more than 7, because so many people come up to me and say, I saw you today. But God made you special, and He has a special purpose and a special plan for you. He formed you, He created you as His own masterpiece for a purpose. Somebody read Isaiah 44:24 for me. Isaiah 44:24.
This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself.
Good. And Ephesians 2:10.
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Awesome. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He created our innermost beings. He created our hearts. He created our thoughts, our habits, everything about us. He knew about it, that He was going to create us even before we were born. And if we think about all the wonderful things that He's made, we think about, you know, you go out on the dock and you just look at the mountains, you look at the sky. I love coming here because you can actually see stars, not like down, you know, in New Jersey and you can't see a star. But it's so beautiful to think of all that He has made. We look at verses 17 and 18. back in Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When David wrote this psalm, he said, God's thoughts towards us outnumber all the grains of sand in the world. How many grains of sand do you think there are in the world? A lot? There's how many oceans? Five. Aren't there five? I thought there were five. Okay. So we have five oceans, right? Are there five or are there seven?
There's five.
Okay. And then we have all the lakes and we have all the seas and we have all the rivers. There's a lot of sand, a lot of grains of sand. We could never know, but God knows. Just as he knows how many hairs are on our head, he knows how many grains of sand there are. And he recalculates those every day as the waves are hitting the rocks and the waves are hitting the shore and new grains of sand are being made. He's recalculating them also. And what's more amazing than this is that although the human mind cannot begin to calculate the size of the number we just described, your Heavenly Father's thoughts towards you are more than this. And John, can you hand out those bags? We're going to do a little something here. I have something for you to take home. My husband gave you lentils the other night to take home. Now you're going to have another bag, but this is sand. All right? A little part of Pilgrim Camp. Yeah, I want you to count them, please. All right, so look at that. That is about maybe a couple of teaspoons of sand. Look at those grains of sand. You think you can count them? I think it would take a really, really long time, and you'd probably end up missing count after a while and have to restart all over again. But what we're going to do here is I want to relate the grains of sand to the span of your life. So what happens when we look at the number in terms of time? Okay? So we're going to say the average person lives about 75 years. So I'm not going to do it like long division, long multiplication. Is that what it's called? Anymore? Multiplication. Okay, anyway, 75, so the average person lives 75 years, and how many days are in a year? 365. And wait a second, I have to look at my paper because I'm not going to figure it all out. So that comes out to 27,375 days. So do you think we can say there are at least 27,375 grains of sand on the earth? You think we can say that?
Yes.
Hello.
Come
on. Yes. Okay. All right. Then we're going to multiply by the number of hours in a day. So how many hours are in a day? 24. Very good. And then we come up with 657,000 hours in a day. Right? You think there's more? In a lifetime. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you, Becky. Do you think we could say that there are more than 657,000 grains of sand on the earth?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So then I think we can say then that God is thinking about you at least every hour, right? And then we go to minutes. How many minutes are in an hour?
60.
Oh, you guys are brilliant. Okay, 60. That comes out to 39,420,000 minutes. You think there's more grains of sand than that?
Yes.
I think so. And I think it's safe to say that God thinks about us at least once every minute. Then we go to seconds. And there are 60 seconds. Thank you, Renee. 60 seconds in a minute, and that comes out to a whopping 2 what?
Billion.
2 billion, is that right? I had to go to my son and ask him what that number was. 2,365,200,000 seconds in a lifetime, 75 years, do you think there's that many grains of sand on the earth? So I think it's safe to say that God thinks of us at least every second. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Renee. You're awesome. So what do you think God is trying to say to you and me here? He's trying to tell us that there's no moment in time that you are not on his mind. He's thinking of you every second. As hard as it must be for us to understand and to comprehend that, the all-knowing one is quite capable of keeping you on his mind. And as he thinks of every other person on this earth and makes the universe go round. That's amazing. He's truly amazing. And when you take the time to stop and think of all the things that he's done for you, how can you possibly ever think that he doesn't love you? And, you know, I don't know why this was to be shared tonight. I don't think it was just to give my husband a night off. I think that we all go through things. We hear these verses quite often. And, you know, I had even debated sharing them with the girls up there because I said, that's such a common verse. But you know what? God knows each and every one of our hearts. The young people, a little bit older people. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're going through. And right now you may not be feeling very good about yourself. Or maybe you're feeling lonely and unloved. Or maybe, as we heard a lot this week, maybe not exactly sure where you're going in life, what you're going to be doing, what school you're going to be going to, what career you're going to be doing. All we need to know, and I pray that you do know this without a shadow of a doubt, that you are so, so important to him. He knows exactly what you're struggling with, and he wants you to know that he's right there alongside you. He's promised in his word that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he will be there right alongside you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you, Lord, that you have such concern for each one of us. All the things that we do, from the hairs on our head to the soles of our feet, Lord, you are concerned about every aspect of us, everything that we do. And Lord, I pray for each one here tonight, Lord God. You know the hearts. You know the thoughts that we have. You know the things that we're feeling, the hurts that we carry. And Lord, I pray that you will just wrap your loving arms around each one tonight, Lord God, and let them know that they are special, that you will never leave them, that you will never forsake them, that you are there for them, Lord. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise.
Hallelujah.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear when thou art near? Thou